So our gospel reading comes from John 15. Jesus speaking, I am the true vine, and God my Father is the vine grower. God removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, God prunes to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed, pruned by the word that I've spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I'm the vine and you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burn. But if you abide in me, and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. God is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As God has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commands, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept God, my Father's commandments, and abide in God's love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and your joy may be complete. Where do you live? It's one of those questions we get asked or ask other people and answer all the time. Where do you live? And it kind of depends on where we are, how we answer, right? If we're talking to someone right here, we say, well, I live on this street, or I live in Newfield, or I live in Spencer, or something like that. If we're traveling, we might say, I live in New York. If we're internationally traveling, we might say, I live in the United States of America. But it's one of those questions we think about. Where do you live? I think Jesus is asking that question, but in a very different way. Where do you live? Where do you abide? Where do you dwell? Where do you put down your roots? The other Gospels, not John, but Matthew, Mark, and Luke, talk about the kingdom a lot. That's the primary metaphor Jesus uses in those Gospels for what Jesus is trying to help us realize and become a part of. In John's gospel, it's more love and life, or what John writes about a lot. And I think whatever of those metaphors sort of works for you, I'm reminded when I'm thinking about where we live or where we dwell, Cynthia Bourgeau writes that these are not places we go to, heaven, the kingdom, eternal life, but rather they're where we come from in our living all the time. Abide in me. Dwell in me. Be connected. Be a part of the mutuality of God, Christ, Spirit, interrelating that we are invited into right now. Not after we die sometime. Right now. As I said to the children, Bonaventure is the one, Bonaventure, but I like saying it the French way because I knew a man named Bonaventure who was from the Congo. Bonaventure says, God is the circle whose center is everywhere and circumference is nowhere. Clearly, we can abide in God no matter our geographic location, but our spiritual location and orientation makes all the difference. I love the way Jesus uses these very common, ordinary metaphors, the vine, the branches. We had a great time in Bible study on Tuesday night talking about our experiences with vines and trees and pruning and planting. Margie Latham, our moderator over there farming now in Vermont, knows a lot about pruning this time of year. And I was remembering the grapevines that grew up over the back of our former house outside Rochester that needed a lot of pruning every early spring, because grapevines only bear fruit on the new growth. That's an important part here, right? The old woody stems don't bear grapes, it's the new growth. And plants vary, as you all will know. Some plants bear fruit on last year's growth, so there's a little bit of, but for a vine, it's the new growth of this year that bears the fruit. Abide in me as that vine, that source of life, that source of connection, that without whom we can do nothing. I don't know about you, but I spend an awful lot of my life thinking I can do it and trying to do so much of my living out of my own efforts, my own will, even really good things, trying to do them out of my own energy and resources. And yet, this metaphor says, tap in to the root through the vine. Be open to the flow of the sap. Let the growth happen through you. It's not up to us to make it happen. We can't make it happen even if we want. We cannot will ourselves to be the people we are meant to be. We open ourselves and allow the vine to feed us, to nurture us, to enable us to grow, to transform, to change, to become more and more full, more and more fruitful. Of course, pruning is one of the part of the image, and we don't always like the pruning. Pruning comes in a lot of different forms, doesn't it? When we shared concerns most weeks, we're sharing forms of pruning. And I don't like to say God caused this. I would say more life happens. Things happen in life. It's the nature of human existence for there to be struggle and loss and pain and hard things. And they can all be part of God's pruning to allow richer growth, or we can end up just dead and thrown away. You know what I mean? It's how we're able to respond to those things that allows the new life and growth to come from it. John's gospel writes over and over and over again about love, about abiding in God's love, about dwelling in that place with God, about being part of the mutuality of God's relating through Christ and Spirit to whatever it is we understand Trinity to be. I don't know what to make of it. It's certainly not static, Father, Son, Spirit, you know, lined up like that. I love the 4th century metaphor that it's the dance around. It's the inner flowing, connecting of God, the fact that God is fundamentally relational love, and that we're a part of that now, not someday. Not someday. Before we heard about Laura yesterday, my husband Bill and I were brainstorming about this text, and he was reminded and told me there was a man, a pastor up in Rochester a few years ago named David Hess, who pastored a little bitty West Henrietta Baptist Church. We drove by it yesterday. Actually, we were in Rochester, and they still have the same person who does their outdoor signs who drives me crazy. This week's sign says, "Don't let your first ride to church be in a hearse." This is sort of the tenor of their outdoor signs, which was really ironic because when David Hess was there, that was not David Hess at all. Clearly, David Hess had delegated the signs and was just letting this person do their thing. But David was actually one of the most loving, amazing people you could know. And a few years ago, he had some kind of symptom, I don't remember what, went to the doctor and found he had stage 4 cancer of some type. and really wasn't operable. And David was like, that's fine. I'm good. Let's let it happen. And it happened very quickly. And what Bill was remembering yesterday was being in the hospital room with David Hess at Strong as he was dying and saying to him, because David didn't have any family, saying to him, David, you know, there's many people who would love to be here with you. We can arrange to make sure you're not alone. And David looked at him and said, oh, that's not necessary. I'm never alone. I'm fine. Bill also remembered there was an oncology resident doctor who told Bill as chaplain, I don't want to go off my shift until after he's died. I don't want to leave because when I go in there, I feel peace like I've never felt anywhere in my life. David Hess knew all about abiding in God's love and being a branch. Just one branch on the vine. This week, as I was brainstorming, as I do, the service for the week, I found myself thinking for our closing hymn, I want to sing My Life Flows On, an endless song. And when I picked it, I thought, there's sort of a, like, what does that mean about what might happen in the world this week? That I would want to sing that song. I never imagined it would have to do with us and Laura, so close to home. But this is a song about faith when it's hard. This is a song about singing even when life is challenging and sad, and the tragic seemingly happens. That we know that there are in us and that people we love, like Laura, are in the deep, peaceful abiding forever. It says in those beautiful words in the Book of Common Prayer, in the glorious company of the saints in light. That's where she is. That's where David Hess is, and that's where we already also are.